Okay, guys. Welcome to Truth Hurts Radio. Happy Wednesday, August 22nd. Wow. 2007. Man, summer's winding down, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Said and done, let me launch into today's topic, weather modification. Now, I've talked about this on the show before with some of the guests I've had on, but I want to go into the subject in more detail to break it down and to read some authoritative quotes from authoritative sources so that you can see that this really is a technology that does exist. It has existed for quite a long time, and it's being used on a scale that goes beyond mere cloud seeding. Now, we know they have that. They admit that. They've been doing that for a long time. You simply dump dry ice, frozen carbon dioxide, on a cloud, and presto, you get rain. That's a, you know, fairly easy and low technology method of weather modification. But what I'm going to be talking about today goes way beyond that. Way, way beyond that. And again, I'm going to try to insert as few editorial comments as possible. I want you just to hear the quotes, because that's mostly what I'm going to be doing today, is just reading quotes. And then you tell me if I'm paranoid and if I'm stretching this and exaggerating. They admit it, folks. They admit it. In fact, if you do your homework on 9/11, they admit doing 9/11 too. Zbigniew Brzezinski, we need a massive, widely perceived direct external threat. PNAC, we need a new Pearl Harbor type event to catalyze the American public behind us in support of this agenda so we can go into Iraq and seize its oil reserves and remain the dominant force in the world in the 21st century. Blah, blah, blah. They admit it. Okay, well, they do the same thing with weather modification, in fact, even more boldly. Speaking of Zbigniew Brzezinski, by the way, that's our first interesting quote we're going to be looking at. He wrote a very interesting book back in 1970 called Between Two Ages, in which he made this statement. As one specialist, Gordon J.F. MacDonald, noted, and then he quotes from him here, by the year 2018, technology will make available to the leaders of the major nations a variety of techniques for conducting secret warfare. Techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm, thereby weakening a nation's capacity and forcing it to accept the demands of the competitor. He's talking here about using weather modification as a weapon of war. He said here, or at least the person he was quoting from here, said that this technology would be available and be in use by 2018. Well, let me tell you, folks, Brzezinski was, though being revealing here to some degree, he was also playing little mind games, because that technology already existed in his day, as we're going to see shortly, and was in use, actually, for at least three decades at that time. Not to the degree it is today, but it was being used. And again, we'll be going into that in detail in just a bit here. You'll be surprised, some of the sources that admit weather modification. In fact, here comes one. This is from the Wall Street Journal, November 13th, 1997. It was an article called Malaysia to Battle Smog with Cyclones, written by Chen Mei Yi, page A19. Go check this out for yourself. This was just 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, November 13th edition, Wall Street Journal, 1997. Here's what it said. Malaysia's war on smog is about to get a new twist. Excuse me. The government wants to create man-made cyclones to scrub away the haze that has plagued Malaysia since July. We will use special technology to create an artificial cyclone to clean the air, said Datuk Law Huan Ding, Minister for Science, Technology, and the Environment. The plan calls for the use of new Russian technology to create cyclones to cause torrential rains, washing the smoke out of the air. The Malaysian cabinet and the finance minister have approved the plan, Datuk Law said. The Malaysian company BioCure SDN BHD will sign a memorandum of understanding with the government-owned Russian party to produce the cyclone. Day 2 Claw declined to disclose the size of the cyclone to be generated or the mechanism. The details I don't have, he said. He did say, though, that the cyclone generated would be quite strong. Day 2 Claw also declined to disclose the price of creating the cyclone, but, he said, Malaysia doesn't have to pay if the project doesn't work. So, there you go. Does the technology exist to create storm systems? If you don't think so, give a call to the Wall Street Journal and tell them how paranoid they are. It simply doesn't exist, you crazy fools. In fact, you might want to call the Russian government. You might want to call the company there in Malaysia that contracted with them. London Times, November 23rd, 2000, quoted world-renowned scientist Dr. Rosalie Bertel as saying, quote, U.S. military scientists are working on weather systems as a potential weapon. The methods of weather control include the enhancing of storms and the diverting of vapor rivers in the Earth's atmosphere to produce targeted droughts or floods. Now, here's an admission that they're working on the technology. But like I said, as we'll see, that's just a diversion. It's almost like they're admitting the technology is being worked on because they know that there's so much talk about it. You can't deny it anymore. But they still want to give you the impression that it's yet future. But you look at other sources, which we're going to do shortly, and you'll see that the technology has, in fact, been in use for quite some time. It has advanced as the years have progressed. It's gotten more, frightening, more draconian. But they have been engaging in this type of activity for quite some time. In fact, a 1994 UN publication called Basic Facts About the United Nations mentioned a treaty dating back to 1977 called, quote, 1977, the Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques. This agreement was described as follows. NMOD, that's the acronym, NMOD Convention prohibits the use of techniques that would have widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects through deliberate manipulation of natural processes and cause such phenomena as tidal waves, the changes in climate and in weather patterns. There you go. It prohibits the use of manipulation of the environment or of the weather, which would cause such phenomenon as tidal waves and changes in climate and in weather patterns. This is back in 1977, folks, forbidding weather modification technology to be used in this fashion for warfare. Think about it. Is it paranoid to say they can control the weather? Well, you better call the UN now, too. Stick with us, folks. Short break. Be right back. Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirst Radio. Your host Charlie Giuliani, going off on another paranoid rant, talking about weather modification technology, which we know doesn't exist. Only paranoid people think such things exist. Paranoid people like this next guy I'm going to be quoting from here, who pushed for a treaty similar to the one I just quoted before the break from the UN. It was reported in the June 24th, 1975 edition of the Providence Journal Bulletin, quoting Senator Claiborne Pell, Democrat from Rhode Island, who made this statement. The U.S. and other world powers should sign a treaty to outlaw the tampering with weather as an instrument of war. We need a treaty now to prevent such actions before the military leaders of the world start directing storms and manipulating climates against their enemies. The basic idea of environmental warfare is simple. If a nation can learn to trigger natural events, it can inflict terrible damage on an enemy through rainfall, flooding, tidal waves, and even climate changes that could devastate an enemy nation's agriculture. Excuse me. It may seem a great leap of imagination to such science fiction ideas as melting the polar ice cap. Isn't that interesting? Changing the course of warm ocean currents, or modifying the weather of an adversary's farm belt. But in military technology, today's science fiction is tomorrow's strategic reality. Now, isn't that interesting? All the talk of global warming, melting of the ice caps, melting of the glaciers. Guys, do I have to remind you that decades ago the globalists were talking about the need to disrupt the environment, to disrupt the ecosystem, to create a global crisis or several global crises so they could sucker the world's population into accepting world government that would save them from these crises? Come on, it's the old Hegelian dialectic fraud. Give me a break. This is exactly, who hasn't read Report from Iron Mountain? I've quoted that on the previous show. I'll come back to that again at a future time. But in that document, they proposed massive pollution of the environment and other environmental modifications that would devastate the planet, and they could capitalize on that to bring about world government. That was the aim of the whole study, how to create world government. They said, war waging has been a great unifying factor and a great economic stimulator in the past, but under world government, warfare would become a thing of the past. So what could replace warfare as a means of uniting people and keeping strong a world government? Global crises. And again, environmental crises was one of the top on the list, and it lamented that it will take several decades of polluting the environment to create the type of crisis we would need to justify to bring the masses together and unify them behind us. But it would be a fruitful venture. Well, here we are decades later, and they're talking about this very thing. Global pollution, global warming, Brown, the replacement for Tony Blair, said that very thing a few months back. That global warming is a global crisis requiring global solutions. We need a new world order to combat global warming. Oh, man, are these guys predictable or what? Senator Pell's references to directing storms, manipulating climates, flooding, melting the polar ice cap, changing the course of warm ocean currents are particularly interesting when one considers the strange extremes in weather that have been occurring around the world, folks, beginning especially in the early 90s, which is when the HAARP facility up in Alaska was completed. We've been having floods. Remember the Midwest floods back in, 93? Hurricanes. Remember Hurricane Andrew? Not long after that. I think it was the following year, wasn't it? 94? Massive tornadoes occurring on a grand scale, unknown in the historical record. Droughts, extremes of hot and cold. El Nino, of course, global warming. Ozone depletion, on and on and on. Here's an interesting article. Let me quote some excerpts from this here. A Life magazine article, August 1998 issue. It was from an article called Weather Special Report. On page 40, it began. And here's some of what it said. Check this out. The rain is biblical, bucketing down as if God meant to drown Manhattan's haughty towers. Yeah, well, those are gone, aren't they? Everyone's talking about the weather, or cursing it, or trembling before it, or theorizing as to cause and effect. And you needn't be paranoid to conclude that climate conditions have gone batty in recent months. Of course, we can say now recent years. It's been like this nonstop. Now, I mentioned earlier on this show how this past winter has been totally bizarre in New England. We only had two small dumpings of snow this past winter, the first of which didn't occur until Valentine's Day. Flippin' February 14th. Now, I'm not complaining about that, mind you. I hate the snow. But it's just very bizarre for New England. Short break, folks. Be right back. Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani, talking about weather modification and how the government doesn't hide it. They admit it. And so I've been reading an excerpts from an article here from a Life magazine back in 1998. Let me continue on. Now it proceeds to cite several examples of bizarre weather around the world. And it really makes you wonder, you know, what is going on here? It's not normal. It's not natural. The weather is very strange. When you see that they admit that they have this technology and that they've been using it, and you see how bizarre the weather is, I mean, is it really that far of a stretch to conclude that this screwed-up weather we're having is, in fact, orchestrated by the same scum that's orchestrating things like 9/11, that's circulating fake Bin Laden videos, fake Zarqawi videos, raping and pillaging our economy, signing us over to the North American Union, sending our jobs over to China, to India, tearing our economy to shreds, creating the highest national debt and the most scandalously outrageous deficits in this country's history. Put the pieces together. Oh, heck, you don't even have to do anything. Just open your eyes and watch them fall into place. How's that? You don't have to put the pieces together. You can't miss it, folks. To deny what's going on, you're either a complete ignoramus, in which case there's really no hope for you. You're a living dead. Or you're just a shill. Who doesn't care about selling out your country, in fact, all of humanity, to defend these mass-murdering, lying, thievish pigs? You'd cut your own mother's throat for a buck, wouldn't you, you neocon Bush-defending scumbags? Anyway, let me continue on with this article. In the U.S., it started early last year when the Truckee River invaded Reno, Nevada. A few months later, more than 30 died as rivers in the Ohio Valley burst their banks. The Red River swallowed Grand Forks, North Dakota, displacing 50,000. Not long after that, the rogue Pacific current known as El Nino began wreaking havoc around the world. It's funny that you don't really hear anything about El Nino anymore. They just don't talk about that. All you hear now is global warming. Before it was El Nino. And did you ever hear of El Nino prior to the late 90s? Maybe El Nino was an illegal alien and sent back to Mexico. I don't know. But anyway, Indonesia's jungles... Oh, actually, no, they wouldn't have sent him back. They would have given him a nice, high-paying job at Walmart. Anyway, Indonesia's jungles burned while Chile's Atacama Desert got a foot of rain. Look how bizarre the weather is here, folks. Foot of rain in the desert of Chile's Atacama Desert? Come on. Indonesia's jungles, rainforests burning? Snow fell in Guadalajara for the first time since 1881. Canada suffered its worst ever ice storm. Floods killed thousands in Africa. In Peru, endless downpours created a 2,300 square mile lake on which President Alberto Fujimori jet skied to promote tourism. Back in the States, daffodils popped up in midwinter Chicago, and Washington, D.C.'s cherry blossoms were 3 months early. Winter storms that usually hit Alaska veered toward California, pitching mudslides into mansions. Throughout the West, this spring was the soggiest on record. The tornado season was the deadliest since 1974, with a body count of 124 as the worst twisters skipped the Great Plains, Tornado Alley, for the more densely populated Southeast. Again, you know, this isn't even up to date. This is almost 10 years ago. We could go through some more recent bizarre weather occurrences to buttress this even further. But let me just go on. This article is just getting warmed up. All that was prelude to the wild summer of 1998. Thunderstorms with hurricane-force winds trashed Moscow. The rain-swollen Yangtze River killed more than 400 as it cut a swath through central China. One weekend, six rafters were killed on California rivers that were running at least 50% higher and faster than normal. The next weekend, two dozen people were killed by storms that rampaged through the Midwest and East during a foot of rain in parts of Ohio and West Virginia. In Frame, West Virginia, a four-month-old baby was seized from his mother's arms by the rising current and swept away. Florida, cleaning up after its twisters, was plagued again, this time by fire caused by aberrant weather patterns. The state suffered its worst rash of wildfires in history, with more than 2,000 outbreaks. A half million acres were incinerated, and property losses ran to $250 million. Well, there's your motive right there. Cha-ching! Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maximize the damage to maximize the profits. And, of course, get that federal aid going. No motive there for wanting to use this weather modification technology now, is there? To sum up, since the beginning of 1997, continues the article, more than 16,000 have been killed worldwide by the weather, and nearly $50 billion in damage has been done. In the U.S., the figures are 456 dead and $13 billion lost. While there have been cataclysms of great intensity and immensity in our century, the distribution, variety, and frequency of the recent rotten weather has been extraordinary. The new movie, The Avengers, has a villain who specializes in climate manipulation. You peer from the window and wonder, is he out there? Very interesting. Life magazine asks that question. Is the weather modifier out there? They wonder. And for good reason, because this weather is totally screwed up. What lies behind it is the question. Well, since we can no longer deny that weather modification technology exists, and since we cannot deny that the scum running this country are a bunch of money-grubbing, power-hungry monstrosities from the pits of hell, I'd have to ask, how could you not think that this weather is being manipulated and controlled and orchestrated by these corrupt scum of the earth? In the first 10 days of May 2003, record tornado statistics were set, with a total of 412 tornadoes touching down in several states from Kansas to Georgia, 22 of which were F5s. In all, a total of 44 deaths resulted. This broke the previous record set in 1999, where about 200 tornadoes were reported within a 10-day time period. As far as the U.S. goes, most weather manipulations are conducted and coordinated at the HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program facility near the village of Gecona, Arizona. Guys, go Google that, HARP, H-A-A-R-P. Find out what's going on at the HARP facility, which your tax dollars, of course, are paying for. This facility bombards the ionosphere with extremely high and low frequency energy emissions, primarily radio waves, in conjunction with similar facilities around the country, like the magnetic field altering Gwen Towers located in places like Mechanicsville and Ledyard, Iowa, Chelsea, Wisconsin, Shepherd, Minnesota, Curryville and Dudley, Missouri, Whitney, Nebraska, and several other locations in Colorado and Montana, and, of course, multiple satellites in orbit, weather manipulation of just about any type can be conducted virtually anywhere and with any desired intensity on the planet today. You know, maybe you've been wondering about whale and dolphin beachings, crop circles, chemtrails, all of these things, guys, right in your face, are associated with weather modification technology, or consequential to this technology. Interestingly, U.S. patent number 4,686,605. That's 4686605 patent number, held by Arco Power Technologies, Inc., the Arco subsidiary that was contracted by the U.S. government to build the HARP facility, describes an ionospheric heater very similar to the HARP heater. According to this patent, quote, weather modification is possible by altering upper atmospheric wind patterns or altering solar absorption patterns. There you go, folks. This is public record. Anybody can look that up and see for yourself. This patent actually describes this invention, which is very similar to the HARP facility, as a weather modification device. This patent then goes on to mention how, quote, Alaska provides easy access to magnetic field lines that are especially suited to the practice of this invention, since many field lines which extend to desirable altitudes for this invention intersect the Earth in Alaska. Oh, it's just a coincidence that they happen to build the HARP facility in Alaska, isn't it? Given this revelation, is it not obvious why Alaska was chosen as the site for HARP? So that they could engage in weather modification, so they could screw up your weather, maximizing their profits, creating a global calamity, so they can use it as an excuse to implement some no-fault order, because it is only world government that can control all the nations altogether at once, yeah? To keep you safe from the naughty Mother Nature, yeah? Mother Nature has not been nice to us, so we need the world government to protect you. Just like we need some homeland security to protect you from the terrorists that don't exist overseas, but they do exist in Washington, yeah, as well as in Tel Aviv and London, too. People, it's time to snap out of the coma. Turn off the boob tube, knock off the Fox watching, knock off the soap operas, the football games, and get real. Wake up and see what is going on around you. Look at the manipulation, the lies in the media. Look at the absolutely outrageous criminal activities that are going on right in your face. You want to know why your weather's so screwed up? Because your government is screwed up. That's why. They love power, and they love money, and they can never get enough. The more they get, the more they want, the more they take. And as long as we sit back and snooze away, sucking snot in our sleep. Pardon my graphic language here, but people, you gotta wake up. I need to shock you to wake you up out of your slumber. This country's been in a coma for way too long, and that's why they're getting away with what they're getting away with. Wake up! Anyway, we got a caller. I need to take a chill pill here. We got Paul in Delaware. Welcome to the show, Paul.
How you doing?
How's it going?
Yeah, I like what you're saying as far as waking up, but as I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying, I'm like, wake up. I've been hearing this looker. I mean, think about this, what I'm about to say. I've been hearing talk show hosts saying, wake up, telling the people to wake up. And I tell you, people, if they want solutions, if they want results, if they want a better quality of life, they've got to really wake up is not a good enough term. I mean, these people talk about someone's playing with their subconscious. They are not even living conscious. they are so out of the loop. I mean, the more I learn, because, see, when you're interested in solutions and the change and results, and you're on that path, and you keep on finding that they're not coming about because of no organizational structure, no organization in this movement. You know, we have these big, well-known names that are so-called the leaders in this so-called, whatever you want to call it, movement. There's only one thing, no organization, no marching of the people. I'm not talking about down the street. I'm talking about making sure that something gets done. And
exactly.
The only way you're going to get that is if you're dealing with, you know, there's too many dishonest people. I hate to use that term, but what else do you call it when they say one thing out the side of their mouth, and then when it comes down to it, nothing has changed. And so when I listen to talk radio, I'm like, look, I'm about real results and getting things done. I get things done in my life personally every day. I mean, my life, this is serious. It's like a tree blossoming. Every day gets better. Every day is like college. Every day is exciting. And it's because when a person realizes their full potential, you have a lot of people always arguing and fighting because they want Hillary in, or they want this one in, or they have an opinion about this or that. There's a lot of that going on. Until people stop that and realize their full potential, that means you have to do it. Get out there and do it. This stuff about waking up, I mean, I've got over 500 DVDs of some powerful information. MySpace.com/American_cult member. And if you go there and you reach me, you can get some of my DVDs. But more importantly, I have these DVDs, and I used to give them out for free. Because I thought in order for someone to do something, they need to know what's going on and know the facts, and so have a clear rational, you know, reality before them. But what I realized is a lot of them, they just want to go to work. It's almost like talking football at the job site. They want to go there, and they want to talk politics, and if someone just knows a little bit more than them, all of a sudden they want a DVD now so that they can brush up and be the expert and get nothing done. I'm sick of these people. I'm sick of people that listen to talk radio, and it's like a lullaby bedtime story before night-night, and I'm sick of them. And so if they don't change, I just feel like it's just cheaper to go on the other side. Of course, that's not the best side to go on, but at least you can do something for yourself personally.
Well, the apathy is what's so disgusting. In fact, by the way, you want a cell phone or something? Because you're kind of...
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone.
Yeah, I thought so, kind of breaking up. I mean, I can hear you, but breaking
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, this is my thoughts. I wanted to relay them to everybody else that's listening, and I hope that they're about real results, too, because you know what? Why listen to talk radio if it's, you know, I'm starting to think that talk radio is becoming like
I hear
a,
you. It's
a
not enough to wake up. You got to get people motivated. I'll tell you what, we're going to break. Did you want to stay on?
Yes.
All right, stay on. We'll be right back after the break. Hey, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Boy, my throat is getting hoarse here from yelling about these scumbags. We're still with Paul in Delaware. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Paul. We need to not only wake people up, but shake people up. We've got to get them off their hind parts and get some action going here. Get these scum out of office, send a message to the politicians in Washington that we're on to them, and they're not going to get away with this anymore. We're not believing it. We know they're lying. We know they're scum. We know they're criminals. We know they're mass-murdering, lying thieves, and we want our country back.
Yeah, don't forget that they are also child molesters, pedophiles, and I mean this seriously. If you just go on the Internet, I don't know if a lot of
Yeah. Every evil you can imagine, they're all of that and more.
Now, one other point I'd like to make, besides plugging my my MySpace, because I've got some good documentaries there, but, you know, in this movement, and this, you know, I've been researching for 12 years, and I tell you, I'm at the cutting edge. I'm not saying I know everything, because there's so much I don't know, but at the level of results, things being done, I'm not interested in just dissecting history. I'm interested in results. And, you know, there's one gentleman. His name is Peter Khawaja. And a lot of individuals, all these well-known radio stations and radio hosts, they always avoid this name. They act like they've never heard it before. And I tell you, it's one of the most baffling, suspicious things. If all of your listeners will just go and check out Peter Khawaja and find out about this guy and what Joyce Riley and others have been doing, and just the level of deception and trickery. We're being led like Pied Pipers. Watch out who you're being led by, people. There's something going on, and individuals out here are going to find out someday if someone already don't know.
And again, you know, like I was saying earlier in the show, it's not just government leaders. It's people in academia. It's people, you know, of course, in the media.
It's talk show hosts.
Religious leaders as well. They
have to play
the game.
Yes.
They'll shut them down.
So if anyone wants to get in contact with me, myspace.com/American_cult member. And you'll see pictures there at the webpage. You can click on them. And documentaries play underneath of the picture that you click on. And if you get in contact with me, I would love to hear any information someone has regarding Peter Khawaja. I also have one of the only, probably rare, hard-to-find documentaries. Joyce Riley and GCN's not going to like me saying this because they're going to be running scared right now. But I have one of the rarest documentaries with Peter Khawaja, like a Matlock case, going over Joyce Riley and what GCN is up to, not to mention the history of Alex Jones, which is not a full biography as of yet, but there are people out there doing research on these individuals. Very, very suspicious characters. Don't know who they're working for. All I know is they're not working for the right individuals because of the level of deception and trickery. You know what? Call up Alex Jones. You've heard about
Peter?
I would like your listeners to call up Alex Jones and just ask him, or tell him about Peter Khawaja. Ask him why he acts like he never heard the name before. He always says things like, Peter Khawaja? I've never heard of him. Send me the information, like he's going to do research.
This might blow your mind, but I don't know who that is.
Well, check it out. I used to listen to Alex Jones for like 3 years, and then I realized one thing. Listening to Alex Jones is like nursing on a baby bottle. It's time to grow up and start doing your own homework and really start paying attention and get results. You know, all you Alex Jones.
Yeah, definitely. We need to do our... I tell you what, we're going to break. You want to stay a couple more minutes?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, hold on with us. Stick with us, folks. Be right back.
With recent internet.